Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We're moving on in our study of Jude to the verses 14 and 15. And I'd like just to read them to you. Please take note of what is written here by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, that is, the rebels that had crept in unaware, as Jude mentions at the beginning of his epistle. So Enoch prophesied of these. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jude now makes reference to one of the most godly men that ever lived. His name was Enoch. It's said of him, back in Genesis chapter 5, the verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He walked with God. That is, he was in step with God, in agreement, in harmony with God. This world today is totally out of step with God, and always has been since the fall of Adam. How different Enoch was from those that Jude has mentioned in the verses 4 and also verse 11. First of all, please learn that Jude turns from those who were in open rebellion against the Lord and refers now to those who in the past opposed it, opposed the rebellion, were against the rebels. Let's learn firstly that we see here just how long the rebellion that is going on around us still today and which Jude opposed in his day, some 2,000 years ago, has been in existence. Enoch lived in the earliest years of the earth. Adam died 930 years after creation, just 57 years before the Lord took Enoch to heaven. That means their lives overlapped by some 308 years. And I would believe that Enoch knew Adam, and that Adam would have heard Enoch preach the message that here Jude mentions. Then notice too, the means of resisting evil men in the dawn of time is the same as is required of us by God today. Enoch preached against them, even as Jude did by way of his epistle. And so God's servants today must oppose, denounce, and expose the lies and deceits of the false preachers that abound today. And we're to do it as boldly as Jude and as boldly as Enoch. Both men pulled no punches, as we would say, but they hit them as hard as they could. That's what preachers ought to do today. Not take any thought or concern regarding how ungodly sinners might be offended by plain preaching, but follow in the footsteps of these godly men. You'll notice that Enoch warned them of a judgment that would befall them when Christ returns. The truth all men need to be reminded of is here. Paul spoke of it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7-9. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is how they don't know God. They rejected the knowledge of God set forth in the gospel and refused to believe the gospel and consequently remained in ignorance of God. and they will then be judged, as Paul says here. And it's an awful judgment. Listen to his words. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Sinful men spend their time trying to get away from God, and they will reap the consequences of that in eternity by enduring everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Note those words, boys and girls. Then the second point I want to make is this. From the earliest days, believers have had a knowledge of Christ's second coming. Long before his first coming, God's people were taught about his second coming. As a preacher, I have always found it very sad that we today, living very near to Christ's return, really know much less than did Enoch and his generation. And that ignorance stems from the fact that we don't study our Bibles as we ought. And I think we must particularly blame preachers who do not take up the information that is given to us in the Bible of that wonderful day and preach it, explain it repeatedly, constantly to their people. That's what Enoch did all those years ago. Enoch prophesied or spoke by divine inspiration of Christ's return. That means that the Lord wanted his people and the rebels of Enoch's day to know about this great event. Knowing of it, waiting for it, will influence and shape the believer's life. Then again, by expounding the many prophecies in the Bible regarding Christ's return, preachers may act as did Enoch. Expounding such prophecies is but a repeating of the divinely inspired revelation of Christ's return. The devil has surrounded this wonderful subject with the myth that it's very complicated and should really be avoided. Is there anything complicated about Enoch's words? I think not. The devil wants the prophecies ignored, for then he will have freedom to advance his wickedness and his deception. If we ignored the warnings about the activities of robbers, would we not all end up being robbed? The third point, the first prophecy of the return of Christ is very informative. Just like all prophecies, of course. First of all, the Saviour will be accompanied by his saints. The words 10,000s of his saints literally means an innumerable number of his saints. Thus, the Lord let his people know way back then that he purposed to save a vast number of sinners. This was especially encouraging since Enoch preached just before the great rebellion in Noah's day and the drowning of all mankind except for Noah and his family. Man's wickedness, despite its worldwide spread, was not going to stop God's plan of redemption for an innumerable number of sinners. Then again, the little word behold at the start of this prophecy indicates that the Lord wanted his people to consider this truth. He's saying, look at this. Hear this. See this. It's the same still today. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 is a very similar statement. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. God wants us to note this great truth, and yet sadly it is so often neglected. Thirdly, I want you to note the reversal of circumstances from those of today that will take place when Jesus returns. The Lord is coming in glory with his saints. That day will be his, and it will be the day of the saints' glory. Today the person of Christ and the people of Christ are despised and mocked, but not on that day. The world will look up and see Christ returning and surrounded by all those who, while they lived on the earth, they mocked and sneered at for believing the gospel. He is coming to put down man's rebellion. He will convince, prove them wrong. I've spent my days trying to convince sinners, and by and large I failed. But the rebels will learn to their eternal horror how wrong they have been in rejecting the message of the gospel. Again, it is not only what they have done, but what they have said against Christ that will be judged. All their sinful activities will be brought before the Lord for judgment. This is the fate of the unconverted sinner who resists and rejects the gospel. Oh, take heed, girls and boys, and seek the Lord for mercy and salvation before that day dawns when the Saviour comes seeking sinners for judgment. May the Lord bless you all today. Amen.